You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained and living the gift of the divine will.
And thank you, live from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to begin with prayer. And for our prayer, we're going to use a supplication. We're going to use a passage from Day 31 in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. This is the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be here. We thank God above all. We thank Radio Maria for the opportunity to be with you every Thursday. And we thank God for Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live from Italy, and for their fiat. And for everyone's fiat that says, yes, I want to love, I want to serve. And we're going to. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to grow deeper in love. We're going to grow deeper in service. And we're going to have a rationale why we're doing it. You know, to love something, you need to have knowledge of it. And we're going to talk about that, I'm sure, in the course of today's program. So let me bring in Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live from Italy. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, everybody out there. Everybody. Hello, Peter and Larry and everybody else. God bless you. And
now, there's a little bit of a bug going around there. So if Mother and the sisters don't sound their best, can you explain a little bit about that, Mother?
we got that COVID virus, you know, but it's okay. This is it's not so bad, you know.
Mother, we don't know if it's COVID, though. We're not tested.
We're not sure.
It's just cold. Maybe it's just
cold.
Fatigue from travel.
Well, yeah. Anyway, whatever it is, we're getting over it little by little. I was just reading here in volume 29. It was July 30th, 1931. It says, my daughter, what is impossible in the human views, everything is possible to God. You must know that the greatest grace that we gave to man in his creation was that he could enter into our divine will to be able to emit his human acts. And since the human will was little and the divine great, it therefore had the virtue of absorbing the little into the great, and of changing the human into the divine will. So at the beginning of this, his creation, Adam entered into the order of our divine will. And in it, he did many of his acts. And while by withdrawing from our divine will, he went out from inside of it, his human acts operated in our will, remained as pledge and right for man, and as beginning and foundation of a divine kingdom that he acquired. In the divine will, whatever is done in it is indelible. God himself cannot delete a single act done by the creature in the supreme will, divine fiat. So Adam, you know, before he fell, everything he did was in God's divine will. And that God cannot delete those acts that he did. Those are divine acts. God never undoes himself. You know, whatever he does is eternal and divine. Now, since Adam was the first man to be created, it came as a consequence that he being as though the root, the trunk of all the human generations, they would inherit almost like branches what the root and the trunk of the tree of man possessed. And just as all creatures, as though by nature, inherit the seed of original sin, so do they inherit his first acts done in our will that constitute the beginning and the right of the kingdom of our divine will for creatures. So our Lord says, this is the greatest gift he could give us. And he wants to give us. And everybody's living in his will in the sense that they could not be alive without the divine will. But he wants us to realize that his presence in us, doing everything in and through us, and to be grateful for all of these gifts of keeping us alive, all the gifts he gave us in creation, in redemption. Everything is gift. And God wants us just to acknowledge his love in all of these great things that he's given us. It's the whole divine will is all about love, God loving us, us loving him back. And in order to really embrace this gift, he tells Louisa, you have to have the knowledge of it. You have to know it. You have to understand it. How do we get the knowledge of it? We read it over and over again. You never stop reading. You read volume 1 to 36, you go back to 1. You keep on, and every time you read it, it's like you never read it before. You're learning new things, new knowledges. It's sinking into your heart and soul in a deeper way, and you're learning how to let him relive his life. And he loves you so much, he wants to relive his life in you. But he wants you to give him that opportunity. He wants you to give your fiat. Our Lady gave her fiat. Louisa gave her fiat. Now he wants us to give our fiat and say yes to him and embrace this great gift. It's such a tremendous gift that, you know, we're so grateful that we're alive during this time in history when we can have this gift. And this time in history is when most people can read. If it would have been given to us in the past, many people were still illiterate. So God waited until the time was right. Everybody can read. We have access to printers. We can print them. We have emails. We can email them to people. So he waited until this time when he could send it around the world through internet, through like where now we're talking on Radio Maria. What a great privilege we have to share it. He wants it shared. He wants it out there. He wants everyone to embrace it and to love it. So he's given us that great opportunity, and we don't want to lose this great gift and this opportunity. And once you know it and love it, you just can't stop telling people about it. You want to share it. You know, when we go to Medjugorje, we had an opportunity to go. We're not far away from Medjugorje here in Italy, but everybody's reading the Divine Will. I met a lady in Germany. She says it's all over Germany. It's a man just came here to visit us from France. He says all the volumes are translated in French. He's spreading. He belongs to them. What does he belong to? Tell him about this man who just came in and the father's website that he's just made.
Okay. Yeah. So we just met a very nice man, Francois. So he's from the Luisa Picaretas Association in France. And yes, he was saying how there are a lot of Divine Will prayer groups, like more than 23 in France, Cenacles in France. There is Father Gabriel Maria talking on the Radio Maria in France. And so it is spreading. It's really spreading. We met so many people in Medjugorje that already knew about it. And yes, I also wanted to share, as Mother said, my father, God bless him, he made a website. He uploaded all the volumes, all the writings of Louisa in 8 different languages. So the website is called, you need to type www.fiatvoluntastua.info. It's very simple. So there are, you will find all the volumes and the Passion Book and Our Lady's Book, the Drop Book, some other materials in languages: English, Italian, Croatian, Polish, French, Spanish, German, and Korean. Yeah. Yes, and like on the homepage, you will see like the Prevenient Act. We put the Prevenient Act because there's a very nice lady, a Croatian lady from Germany that felt in her heart a month ago that Our Lady wants the pictures of Louisa to be spread in Medjugorje, and then Kathy from Medjugorje, she she provided it to be printed. So there were 3,000 in each language of this little cards that we shared with people. So we just need to pray that all of them who get the cards, they really start to pray the Provenient Act, and then I think it's important the people that we spread to the divine will to kind of adopt them like our spiritual children, to, you know, really to pray for them that they also grow, together with us to grow, to walk in this way of the divine will. Yeah, thank you.
Right. You know, Jesus says there's going to be very few in the beginning. And, you know, we just pray that those that are disposed, those that have been called to understand, to accept, and to give their fiat for this gift, do so, because that's what's going to accelerate this gift reigning on earth. And that's what it's going to do. And it quite possibly could be soon. We don't know when, but the harder we work and the more we continue to spread it, to share it again, that's our job. In fact, Jesus says in volume, I think it's 13, December 5th, 1921, he says, quote, "The work is already done. There's nothing left except to make it known, so that not only you, but also others may take part in these great blessings," end quote. It's our job, mother, sisters.
Yeah, I was just reading further here. It says, "My daughter, everybody lives in my will. If they did not, they just wouldn't find a space in which to live. But who feels our divine life? Who feels surrounded by our sanctity? Who feels the joy of being touched by our creative hands to be embellished from our very beauty? Who feels drowned inside our love? The one who wants to live in our will, not the one who is there by necessity of creation, merely because of our immensity that involves everything and everyone. These creatures are there without knowing us, like real usurpers of our goods, like disloyal, ungrateful, degenerate children of their father, because they do not know us. They do not love us. They cannot find in themselves a place for our sanctity, our love. Their souls are incapable of receiving our ever-increasing beauty. They give us nothing, not even our rights as creator. And while they live together in our divine sea, they are as if far away from us. By not knowing us, they build the bars. They shut the doors. They have broken any communication between them and us. It is knowledge that is the first joining link between them and us. It is wanting to live in our will that takes away the bars and opens the doors to let them come into our arms and delight with us. So first of all, it's the knowledge and then the desire. Those two things are so important, the knowledge of it and the desire to possess it. It is loving us that makes us pour rivers of our love and graces to the point of covering them with our divine qualities. Without the knowledge, we cannot give anything, neither can they receive. One who lives in our will instead knows us. As she enters it, she gives her kiss to her daddy. She hugs us and surrounds us with her little love. So we give her our seas of love, and she exchanges her kisses with all heaven. We can say that she celebrates, that the celebrations are open between us, between heaven and earth. We ourselves call her blessed, and we tell her, you are the most happy and fortunate creature because you live in our love, covered by our arms and under the reign of our graces. So if people think they can live it without reading it, unless you give get that infused gift from God to get the infused gift of understanding it and knowing it in a moment's time, that can happen, but it's not likely that it happens to many people. Most people have to read the volumes to understand how to live it. He says, without the knowledge of it, you cannot know how to live this. So it's important that you read it and reread it and reread it, and that you desire it. But when you read these volumes, you do desire it. When you realize the great gift it is by reading it over and over again, you desire it with all your heart, and you desire it for others. You desire to share it with everyone.
Mother, I was listening to you, including the earlier comments that mother made, three or four items that came to mind. The first thing that mother said earlier was that, you know, it's very important to read it. And she said that, like we do now, we can share it through electronic media. It's so easy. But, you know, when we went to Medjugorje this time, I realized that it's the little people that got it early easiest. Because when we talked to the little people, you know, they accepted that they don't know much. So they take time to read. But the scholars, you know, the priests, and sometimes even, you know, sometimes they're supposed to be the educated, they just give judgment and they don't really read the volume. And you there are most people that gives the negative comments about it. And it's kind of disheartening. And another thing also that mother mentioned earlier was, I'm kind of losing my train of thought now, it's been a while. Oh, yeah, it is. It's in Medjugorje, we met different groups of people. There were people, most people were excited to know about the divine will and they read the books. But there are also people that were trying to run away from, I noticed mother when we were coming to like some priest, we shared some of the books. And then the next time they see us, they're like moving away from us. And I think without reading it, they just gave judgment. They probably went online and look at negative comments. And then I'm like, why all of a sudden we were friendly? And then all of a sudden they tried to move away from us and don't even greet us. And these are like priests. And I think they were influenced also by some other people that have negative notions about it. So don't be discouraged. Even if we meet people like this, we shouldn't get discouraged. We should persevere, pray for them. Pray for conversion because, you know, there's a warfare there, a spiritual warfare. Mother wants to say something.
Yeah, that's good. You know, to know that it's persecuted is a good thing because anything good and beautiful like this is going to be persecuted. Jesus was persecuted. Yeah. Louisa was persecuted, you know, so we have to expect persecution. And that means that the devil hates it and he's trying to destroy it, you know. So we pray for those people who don't want to embrace it, don't understand it. But, you know, with time, they may come to understand. Like you said, sister, it's the little people. God is simple. The divine will writings are simple. They're not complicated. If you complicate this, you don't understand it. You know, this is for the simple people. God chose 12 simple men to be his followers, his apostles. And this gift is for those people who are simple enough to understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, Sister Dora mentioned about, you know, when we go to Medjugorje, it's all mission, Peter. It's really, we go there, we hand out books, we hand out prayers, whatever information we're invited to go give talks. And, you know, we're not like here, we you know, it's really, it's Holy Spirit guiding our mouth, our mind and everything to sharing. And one time, Sister Jacinta and I were under a tree there praying, doing our spiritual readings. And all of a sudden we heard a group of people we have not met before. And this elderly woman, and she's not early, she's probably in her 60s, and she was reading this prayer loud for the group, and it was the provenient prayer that we gave away that Sister Dora was talking about earlier. And that was very fruitful, I think. Little acts that we do in Medjugorje, it's been very fruitful. We just don't want to listen to the negative things. Mother,
you want to read the provenient act? We'll read the provenient act that we have on the little card.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Mother.
Okay. We also pray this, by the way. Our community prays this every morning. And so this is how it goes. O most Holy Trinity, through the intercession of Mary, our Mother, permit me to enter now in your will. What's more, give me your hand and put me in the immensity of your will, so that nothing is done that is not in effect of your most holy will. It is my intention, Lord, that all my acts of this day, small and large, natural and spiritual, serve to make the life of your will grow in my person, in your church, and be a continuous prayer which repeats, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's the provenient act. But then we also add the simple prayer, which we find in Our Lady's book, our Blessed Mother's book. We do this three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. And it goes, my mother, I love you, love me too, and give me a sip of the will of God for my soul. Give me your blessing also, so I may do all my actions under your maternal gaze. Mother, I put my whole day on your lap. So these are the prayers that we do every day. The first one was every first thing in the morning. We wake up in the morning. And then the other one three times a day, morning, noon, and evening.
So it's nice to note also, mother and sisters, to the audience that, you know, the Prevenient Act, yeah, it's given, I forget what volume it's in, but Jesus explains it. It's very simple. You know, basically, we're asking to be fused in God's most holy divine will. Now, there can be different variations. I know Father Nuzzi has a longer version. I know Father Celso has a shorter version. We can actually have our own. As long as it incorporates what we're looking to do, we're looking to allow our human will to be subservient to God's most holy divine will. We want to fuse in Him. We want our acts to be one. And again, if we have those, and it also qualifies for the four elements that we must do to receive this gift, which is ask for it. We're actually asking for it in the Prevenient Act. What are the four again? Number one, we've got to be in the state of grace. Number two, we have to have an ardent desire. And that also, that prayer also indicates an ardent desire because we're asking, pleading with God for this gift and for this union of wills. We need to have an upright intention, which is number three. We need to want this not just for ourselves and our families, but for all souls, past, present, and future. And like I said, number four is ask. And that's the one that was most difficult for me. I mean, God knows us. He knows exactly what we're thinking, but He still wants to hear us ask for it. And he actually says, yes, He likes to hear the words of creatures. Because again, the other objects cannot speak. So when I read that, I said, oh my goodness, how often do I misuse words? If He loves to hear our words, we must be careful of our vocabulary moving forward. Because He's looking, He's listening. And I think He even says, I'm spying on you in a nice way, of course.
Yeah, it's what's important is what's in your heart. You don't have to have a long formula. You could just say, Jesus, come do everything in and through me all day long. You know, just come live in me. And then throughout the day, you bring that to your mind again. It's not even about words, mostly thoughts. Jesus, you know, you can think Jesus is washing dishes in me, whatever. Yeah. But you just have to say it's simple. You know, it's what's in your heart, what you really mean in your heart. You know, Our Lady in Medjugorje says, pray from the heart. You can read a long formula and not pay attention to the words. You can have a short little sentence. Prayed from the heart, and it means much more, you know.
Right. Well, whatever your desire is, whether it be long or short, it's up really to the individual, I think.
And Mother, it's very important also to remember, Mother mentioned earlier that one act of God is eternal. It doesn't have a beginning or an end. This was one of the struggles I had before. It's like, oh, this must be a heresy. You know, I mean, that was one of the struggles. How could it be that one act can go from throughout eternity, and it's one act? And Mother, you know, it's because God is outside of time. Yeah. He created time. And so if He's outside of time, so it's not measured according to the measurement that we have in linearly, you know, like past, present, and future. That's why, you know, when we do acts in divine will, it's one act, it's divine act, and it has no beginning, has no end, because God is not subject to time.
And this little card at the bottom, we have the website where you can get all the volumes that have been translated in all languages, www.fiatvoluntastua.info. So that's on each little card so that people can call that up to get whatever language they're looking for.
Amen. It's beautiful. We've got about 2 minutes before break, Mother. Did someone want to say something, or do you want me to take over?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, what we'll do is we'll go into the break. Again, the Prevenient Act, very important. First Rise, it's how we give thanksgiving for awakening, both physically as well as spiritually. I'd like also read just a quick excerpt from Volume 30, November 4th, 1931. Quote, "The soul must unite its will to mine, and immediately it will feel itself rejoined to mine, and all of my acts will place themselves around this soul to do their part to sustain, anchor, and resurrect the human will. As soon as the soul unites itself to my will and decides to do my divine will, all of my acts, like a fierce army, place themselves at its defense and form for it a boat of safety in the stormy sea of life. But for the soul who does not do my will, I can say it receives nothing, nor is it capable of receiving anything, as my will alone is the giver of everything I accomplished for love of souls," end quote. So we begin the process. We take the first step. God does all the rest. He's been working 6,000 years, he tells Louisa, him and his blessed mother. He says, we're ready. He's given the gift. We're going back. We finally arrived. We're going back to the other side, finally. Mm-hmm.
I'm on the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. And again, thank you, Radio Maria, for this opportunity. We're here with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live from Italy. We're talking about what else but the divine will. You know, Mother, sisters, it's really interesting. You know, we're living in, we say often that it's great to be alive at this time. And we really do mean that. But looking at things platonically, things are pretty bad all the way around. And you know what's interesting? That the evils of the world, which can affect the body of Christ, which is each and every one of us, is actually protected by the antidote, which really is the divine will, which is going to get us through this, not with just the joy and peace and harmony, but with the graces, the never-before-given graces, the unheard-of graces that God promises to give to us. Now, Our Lady of Fatima, let's just take a couple quick points. She said there will come a time when there'll be a diabolical disorientation. We're in it. She said good will be bad and bad will be good. She also said that good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. It's everything that's being played out in all aspects of the world today. She also says, and this is very comforting, she says, when all hope will appear to be lost, but by the vast majority, that will be the triumph of my divine will. So I have to believe we're living in the midst of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Would we ever believe that or thought about that as young teenagers growing up, or even early adulthood? No way was I ever thinking that we'd be alive during the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, but we are, and we have a job to do. We have to unveil what God has given to us. There's work involved, but God does all the heavy lifting. Mother, sisters.
Yeah, I was just reading in volume 29, July 30th, 1931. It says, he was talking, our Lord was talking about the divine rule reigning in the world. He says, to me, everything is possible, because Luisa was complaining. How is this possible? How is this going to happen the way the world is? And he says, I will make use of the very storms and of new events in order to prepare those who must occupy themselves with making my will known. The storms serve to purify the bad air and also to get rid of noxious things. Therefore, I will dispose everything. I know how to do everything. I have the times at my disposal. So let your Jesus do it, and you will see how my will be known and fulfilled.
So in other words, get out of God's way. Stop driving the car. Give the steering wheel to God. And by the way, there's a really good song called Backseat Driver by Donnelly, a Catholic artist, if you want to read a song or listen to a song about backseat drivers. Sisters?
Yeah, I'm just going back a little bit to more of what we were speaking of before the break of like the spreading of the kingdom of the divine will. And the little people being the outcriers and the apostles being little, they were fishermen. I'm in volume 20, November 6, 1926, Jesus is talking to Luisa and he was telling her of redemption. And then he said, after I had done everything and had nothing left to do, I entrusted everything to the apostles that they might be the criers of the kingdom of redemption, so that the fruits of the works I did for the kingdom of redemption might come out. The same will happen for the kingdom of the supreme fiat. We will do it together, my daughter. Your pains, your long sacrifices, your incessant prayers, that my kingdom may come soon, and my manifestations about it. I will unite everything together with me and will form the foundations. And once I have completed everything, I will entrust my kingdom to my ministers, so that, like second apostles of the kingdom of my will, they may become the criers of it. Do you think the coming of Father de Francia, he's speaking of Saint Nible de Maria de Francia, who was her confessor, do you think the coming of Father de Francia, who shows so much interest and who has taken to heart the publication of what regards my will, came by chance? No, no, I myself disposed it. It is a providential act of the supreme will that wants him as the first apostle of the divine fiat and the proclaimer of it. And since he happens to be the founder of an order, it is easier for him to approach bishops, priests, and people, also within his own institute, in order to proclaim the kingdom of my will. This is why I assist him so much, and I give him special light. Because in order to understand my will, it takes great graces, not little lights, but sun, to comprehend a divine, holy, and eternal will, as well as great disposition on the part of the one to whom this office is entrusted. So yeah, the spreading of the divine will very much comes through great graces outpoured by God. And he places you in the situation where you need to spread it. In the same way that he chose Saint Anna de Maria de Francia, he chose him. It wasn't something that came by chance. He chose him and he positioned him in a place where he could become the first apostle of the divine will, where he could spread it. And he does the same with you. And as he did with the apostles and their littleness, like yesterday, we just celebrated the feasts of Peter and Paul, two of the greatest saints of our church. They went so far to spread the gospels and they were so little. And God put them in the places where they needed to be to spread the kingdom of redemption. And he does the same with his people. He pours upon many graces upon you so that you can spread the kingdom of the divine will, the kingdom of the fiat, so that he may come again. And he really does give the grace. And like he said, it takes great grace. And you have to be willing to be bold and ask for the grace. And especially through the intercession of Our Lady, who is the mediatrix of all graces. So just asking for him to pour it out.
I was just thinking about what grace is taking at bread martyrdom, the apostles Peter and Paul. But then in the children of the divine will, we are called to be martyrs, and that's harder than the red martyrdom because we're called to white martyrdom, our fiat, constant fiat, and it's not easy. I think the red martyrdom is, it's very difficult to think about it, that the torture, but at least it happens once. Once your head is off or dead, that's it. Your blood is dripping, you know, the seeds of the martyrs. But white martyrdom is like every moment of our breathing life. Oh, fiat, that is so hard.
Thanks for that graphic details. Yeah. You know, one thing quickly, Mother, I don't know, many are not aware that, you know, St. Hannibal, who was, I think, Louisa's confessor for, I think it was 19 years, he was also the spirit. He's no newbie to mysticism. He was also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, who was the seer at Our Lady of La Salette, a fully approved apparition of Our Lady. And besides that, again, being the founder of two religious orders. So he understood exactly what Luis was saying. And that's why he was handpicked by God. He's a saint. And of course, all his work with Louisa has been thoroughly investigated, and there's not been found nothing to be untrue or contrary to our Catholic faith. Sister?
Yeah, so what Sister Madalena was saying and Sister Grace before about Red Martyrdom and the Feast of St. Peter and Paul yesterday, I just saw one picture of St. Peter, like a Renaissance picture in which it was written, this Quo Vadis Domine, you know the story, like Peter saw Jesus and he said, Quo Vadis Domine, where are you going, Lord? And Jesus said, Eo Romam iterum crucifigit, I am going back to Rome to be crucified again. And then Peter felt calling, you know, like to go back, and he was, yes, eventually crucified. And it's just, you know, I just felt this calling, you know, we are all called to be, to crucify our will for our Lord, I mean, for love of him, I mean, completely. It doesn't have to be maybe the red martyrdom, I mean, God's willing, maybe it will be, but like we are all called in the divine will to do that, like Our Lady did, I mean, in every moment to crucify our own will, like to, like Luisa was saying that she was feeling in all the particles of her body, like little nails that were nailed her to the cross of the divine will. And also what we were, what you were saying, Peter, before, how it's the time of diabolical confusion. I don't know if you heard the last message of in Medjugorje, that was for the anniversary. It said that Satan is tempting the minds of people more than ever before. And I mean, it's really... Yeah, there's no time to lose. And I was also thinking while we were there, it just came to me like this, the flame of love of Our Lady, how she said to Elizabeth Kindleman, like, you will blind Satan with the flame of love. And I was just thinking how important it is really to pray for one another, for pray for the people who want to live in the divine will, because our Lord says to Luisa, the prayers that he always accomplishes are the one for the people who are in the divine will or want to be, like for the souls in the purgatory or the souls who are in the divine will, like when Luisa was praying, you know, for the confessors, because I mean, if you and our Lord wants the same thing, which is, you know, for the people to live in the divine will, and these people are disposed, it's kind of, to me, it seems this is also the flame of love. Like for example, if you pray for your neighbor who also wants to the gift of living in the divine will, and your neighbor prays for you, it's kind of the things goes exponentially. It multiplies. It goes much faster. It seems to me as if you were only alone trying to, you know, start to living in the divine will. I mean, that's only my opinion, but yes, I think this is like the important thing. So I was just reading from the volume 17, February 22, 1925. How God in creating man formed many paths in order to facilitate his entrance into his will and therefore into the celestial fatherland. By doing the will of the Eternal One, always and in everything, my humanity opened the ways between the human will and the divine, which had been closed by the creature through sin. You must know that in creating man, the divinity formed many channels of communication between the creator and the creature. The three powers of the soul were channels. The intelligence, a channel in order to comprehend my will. The memory, a channel in order to remember it continuously. And the will, in the middle of these two channels, formed the third channel in order to fly into the will of her creator. The intelligence and the memory were the support, the defense, the strength of the channel of the will, that it might not stagger either to the right or to the left. Channel was the eye, that she might look at the beauties and the riches contained in my will. Channel the hearing, that she might hear the calls, the harmonies contained in it. Channel the word, in which she might receive the continuous outpouring of my word fiat, and the goods which my fiat contains. Channel the hands, so that man, in raising them while working, might reach in my will the purpose of unifying his works with the works of his creator. Channel the feet to follow the steps of my will. Channel the heart, the desires, the affections, to be filled with the love of my will and to rest in it. See then how many channels there are in the creature in order to come into my will if she wanted to. All channels were opened between God and man, and by virtue of our will, our goods were his. And this with justice, because he was our son, our image, a work which came from our hands and from the ardent breath of our womb. But the human will, rebellious, did not want to enjoy the rights of the goods we gave it. Not wanting to do our will, man did his own. And by doing his own, he put bars and gates through these channels. He constrained himself within the miserable circle of his will. He lost hours and went wandering in the exile of his passions, of his weaknesses, under a tenebrous sky loaded with thunders and with storms. Poor child, in the midst of so many evils, wanted by himself. Therefore, every act of human will is a bar that he places before mine. It is a gate he forms to prevent the union of our wills, and the communication of goods between heaven and earth is interrupted. So, and it also in one other passage, it says, I think it's in volume 15, how this first, the first act between good and bad, it's actually the taste. When we have acquire our own tastes, like, and it explains like how Eve had this taste for the fruit, and that's why she started to do her own will, and then when she offered it to Adam, Adam also had like taste for it. So if we don't have our own taste, if we, you know, if we renounce even that, I mean, here it writes how God formed this so many paths. I mean, he made everything so harmoniously, and actually he made it so easy for us. But, you know, and then after he said in this passage, see, it happens this way also with the low things of this world. If one has a large possession, he forms a path in order to go visit it very often, to enjoy it, to take the goods which are in it. And while visiting it, he loves it and keeps it in his heart. On the other hand, if he does not form a path, he never visits this possession, because without a path, it is almost impenetrable, nor does he think of it or ever speak of it. This is a sign that he does not love it and that he despises his own goods. And even though he could be rich because of his bad will, he is a poor one who lives in the most squalid misery. And so here is my wisdom in creating man. I wanted to form the path between me and him to make sanctity easier for him, as well as the communication of our goods and his entrance into the celestial fatherland. So this path, like the acts of the divine will. So if there's a impenetrable jungle, you know, between you and your castle, without paths, I mean, it's very, you won't have very much enthusiasm to go and visit that castle. And it seems to me like I had a picture of a human brain, and and the connections between the neurons. As more often as you use one connection between two neurons, you know, like, for example, if you exercise one skill or you often think of something, the connection between these neurons will become stronger. So the more wider path will be formed. And it seems to me like it's the same thing with acts in the divine will. You know, like they are the paths to God's goods that he wants to give to us. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's pretty beautiful, sister. You know, again, all roads, we've said this before, all roads lead to the divine will. And then when we get there, again, there may be a moat, there may be some impassable way to get there. But remember, through the grace of God, if God can spread the sea, again, he can move obstacles out of our way. In fact, he may even place those obstacles in our way as a way to strengthen us to receive this gift. So again, all roads lead to divine will. We've all come through different routes, whether it be the Flame of Love, a Marian movement of priests, the Franciscans, the Dominicans, it doesn't matter. They were all stepping stones. Again, I'm not belittling their usefulness and their sanctity. But again, God says everything that he created, including the church, including the sacraments, everything has been a way and a means for us to obtain this return to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created, the prelapsary heir of God. That's where we're going. That's where we're going to go, to the grace of God. Mothers, sisters.
Yes, I think today Saint Annibale di Francia, he's really happy in the heaven, because I also have another a passage that I pick. It's from volume 22. And here, Luisa, she met the Saint Annibale di Francia, who is all in rapture and in heavenly glory. And this is what he said to Luisa. So he thought that just by publishing the Passion book is good work, but then he never imagined that this would have been such a great work on earth. But now that he's in heaven, he sees how tremendous work he did on earth by publishing the Passion book. He said every word that's concerning the our Lord's Passion, it transformed to lights. And every time the people pray the Passion book, it adds more rays of light. And all the words, it become suns, and the rays of sun are getting more and more, becomes more beautiful. And he's in that mist of suns and the rays of light. So this really encourages us that we have to read more, to have more knowledge, and to pray in the divine will, because now we don't see the effects in the lights on earth. We can see it, but then once we go to heaven, then we will see, and we'll be surprised, like Saint Annibale di Francia, he is in heaven. So when we do everything in the divine will, it reaches all the souls from past, present, and future. And this is why we have to read the divine will and pray in the divine will. And like Dora said before, the last message, which released on 25th of June, said the devil, the Satan, is tempting more and more like never before. So we have to pray pray more, pray harder. And he says the prayer done in the divine will, it possesses the divine power and the universal strength. This is from volume 22, also July 16, 1927. So this is what Jesus said to Luisa. My daughter, when the soul prays in my will, all things and all created beings stand at attention. Suspend all things, make everything silent. And while they are all intent on admiring the act done in the divine will, altogether they follow the prayer. The power of it calls and imposes itself on everything, in such a way that all do the same thing. If all other prayers were united together in order to compare them with the simple prayer done in the divine will, this one surpasses them all. And because it possesses the divine will, an immense power, an incalculable value. I myself feel invested by such a prayer, and I see as I see that it is my will that prays, I feel its power, which identifies me with that very prayer. So if graces are not obtained by means of the prayer done in my will, which is universal and divine prayer, if divine justice is not placated and scourges continue pour upon the earth, and it means that this is the will of God, and that instead of making those graces descend, it makes the effects of it descend into souls. And if one does not obtain much with it, much less will be obtained with other prayers not done in my will, which contains divine power nor universal strength. So really, the divine will is the light. It's really the beauty. It's the perfection. It's the holiness. And when we pray in the divine will, we transform like that. We become light. We become beautiful. We become holy. Because as we do more in the divine will, as we obtain more knowledge, then we cover ourselves with the heavenly knowledges. And this is not our desire, but this is what Jesus wants. He says, when we pray in the divine will, it becomes a miracle, and it becomes a perennial thing, a forever thing. And we only have to want it. We only have to desire it. In divine will, we have eternity in our hands. All the time, all the places, it's in our hands to use. Jesus' incarnation, his passion, like Bethlehem, Nazareth, Calvary, it's in our hands to use. And when we pray in the divine will, it brings unity of all the creatures and all the generations. So remember to pray in the divine will. Yes.
Thank you, sister. About a minute and a half or 2 minutes ago, anyone that did not speak yet?
Yes, Sister Nora, Sister Monica.
Okay, hi, sister.
Hi, Peter. This is pretty much touching on what you began with and what Mother and Grace were talking about obtaining the kingdom of the divine will. So this is from Volume 30, March 20th, 1932. And it begins, it's called The Three Necessary Conditions. My will, my divine will, is the greatest thing that I can give to the creature, and its reigning is a confirmation of its great gift. It is necessary to ask for it. By asking, she disposes herself and forms the place to receive it. I'm kind of putting it in my own words to summarize. Sure. As well. And as one asks for it, the human will loses ground and is debilitated. And Jesus says, it loses strength and disposes itself to receive the dominion of the supreme volition. It takes the dispositions of both sides, that's God's and ours, in order for us to give our celestial gifts. And then he goes on, the second necessity, it is necessary to know that one can have it. Who can ever think of a good, desire it, love it, if he does not know that he can obtain it? And then further on, the third necessary means is to know that God wants to give this kingdom. This lays the foundations, the sure hope. And then to summarize, these are the conditions without which God cannot give what he wants to give, and the creature cannot receive it. Therefore, pray, and do not hold yourself back from making my divine will known. Time, circumstances, things, people change. They are not always the same. Therefore, what is not obtained today can be obtained tomorrow. And this is what we were talking about earlier with persecution. Jesus goes on, to the confusion, however, of those who have suffocated a good so great, but my will triumph and will have its kingdom upon earth.
Amen. Well, we're out of time, Mother and sisters. Unfortunately, it goes so fast. We'll just pray. Again, we thank God for everything. We thank him for the gift of the divine will. We thank him for Radio Maria. We're going to end with Louise's last words in her last testimony spiritually on March 4th, 1947. Quote, now I die with greater contentment because the divine will has consoled me more than usual with its presence in these last few moments of my life. End quote. The divine will is going to comfort us during our life in these tumultuous times. the era of peace, the Eucharistic reign of Jesus, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We're living it. God is going to get it. Our Lady's going to get it. We're there. We're riding on his coattail. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Ciao, everyone.